Hello, and welcome to Genesee Valley Church's online podcast. At GVC, our mission is simple. We are loving God, loving people, and loving life. I know this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for tuning in, and make sure you stay to the end to hear about how you can connect with us. Are you ready to get into it? Here we go.
Into today's message, we're starting a brand new series, and I'm excited about this one. But as we get started, I want to ask you the question. How many of you like to hear good testimonies? You like to hear of amazing stories of God's goodness, where you start to hear about miracles, where, you know, there was somebody that they were blind from birth, and all of a sudden, God did a miracle, and they were once blind, but now they see. Come on, how many of you like those kind of stories? Or we like stories not only of miracles, but when we hear about God's healing power, when we hear of somebody, they were diagnosed with cancer, they were stage four, they were left for dead, and God swoops in and heals their body, and they're living, standing tall and strong and saying, I was once going to die, but now I'm alive, praise God, because God is good. And we love those stories, don't we? We love to celebrate them. We love to hear them. And it helps encourage us and stir our faith because we say, well, God is no respecter of persons, right? But not only that, there are other kind of stories or testimonies that we hear. And it's stories that we hear of God's blessings and God's increase in God's favor in the area of people's lives. And you would think that people would be just as excited about those stories. You know, you hear of the individual, they say, oh, praise the Lord, I just got blessed. Somebody blessed me with $100,000. And you're like, oh, praise the Lord. You know, or somebody says, somebody just blessed me with a brand new car. I mean, not brand new, but it's brand new to me, and it's like new, and oh my gosh, what a blessing. And they're all excited, and they tell you about it, and you're like, yeah, praise the Lord. Right? Isn't it interesting how when it comes to like great miracles in physical bodies, we're all excited and we're saying, praise the Lord. But then when we hear about financial miracles or increase or blessing, it hits us a little differently. Right? Why? Because I believe it is that not everybody finds themselves in need of miracles within their physical body. You know, knock on wood, I hope I'm never one of those guys. You know, we just hope and pray that we never come up against physical ailments. And because a lot of times it's always the other guy, we can celebrate it. But when it comes to the area of finances, everybody is greatly aware of the need of increase or finances. And what we also understand that as we increase and we find a financial blessing, what it produces is not only quantity of life, it produces quality of life, right? So when we hear of somebody else being blessed like that, we're like, huh, I could sure use that. It would have sure made a difference in the quality of my life, but it's you. And for that matter, oftentimes, you know, people will get excited about your blessing. I've had people act that way towards me. You know, when I'm sharing testimonies of God's blessing in my life, they're like, oh, praise the Lord. And as long as it's small, it's like, oh, praise the Lord, that's amazing. But the moment that I start looking blessed or more blessed than they, well, I was okay until you start getting blessed more than me. And now that you're blessed more than me, now I got an issue with it, right? Isn't it funny how we are as people? And so today we're going to start a brand new series that's called The Abundant Life. The Abundant Life. And so I'm going to do my best effort to teach on this subject better than I ever have before, thoroughly, so that we understand really the heart of God concerning his desire for us. And in fact, Jesus said this in John chapter 10, verse 10. He says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He says, but I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. The translation of that scripture says that you might have life in quality and in quantity. So one of the very attributes of why Jesus came was not only so that we would have salvation and eternal life and being restored back to a relationship with Him. He said, I've come that this life on earth, that you would have an abundant life in quality and in quantity. Amen? How many of you desire that? How many of you believe that God is greatly aware of the need of financial blessing and increase in this earth? I believe that He is. He's the one that created it, right? And obviously, again, I'm using this figuratively, but obviously in the world system, it is money that makes the world work, right? And so God knows that. God knows that in this natural world, finances, money equals power, equals influence, equals the ability to do things. And so if God knows that, and if we are called to be His kids and His representatives, don't you think that God wants us to be the model and the example to the world? And I believe that so many times we have this idea that God wants us to struggle and suffer for the sake of giving praise to God. You know, I suffered all my life. I barely went out. All I ever ate was hot dogs and baked beans. And I did it for the glory of God. Praise the Lord. What a testimony, right? That doesn't honor God, does it? I mean, when it comes to your kids, if your kids, I've said this and used this example many times. If your kids are walking around the church and they got short pants because they're 2 seasons too old and they've grown. And so therefore their pants are, you know, just under their knees because they've outgrown them. You know, you don't look at the parent and say, man, you are such an amazing parent. You're like, what's up? Your kid's pants are too short. Get them some new pants, right? So it doesn't do you well or represent you well as a parent, nor does our suffering or struggles or hardships honor God. And a lot of times people try to spin that. But nevertheless, Jesus said, the reason that I came is that you would have life and life more abundantly. Amen? All right, so let's begin to talk about or look at this abundant life. And as we do, I want you to be mindful of something. I'm going to lay out some foundational things here. And again, please hear what I'm saying. This is foundational that will set the platform for things to come. So don't get lost in some of the things that I'm sharing with you, because foundational are things that are laid upon brick by brick that creates stability for everything else to be built upon, right? All right, so when it comes to the scripture, there are some things that I want you to keep in mind, because scripture is what we base our evidence on as to the heart of God for you and me, right? It's what we begin to exercise faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But as we look at the Bible, we have to be mindful of this. Now, again, this is, I'm leading somewhere with this, so don't let your mind go somewhere else or say something that I'm not saying. There's a point by what or reason why I'm sharing this. As we read the scriptures, we have to be mindful that there are people groups, okay? So number one, as we read the scripture, there are the Jews, right? There are the nations, the people that are apart from God, and there is the church, right? So as you look at the scriptures, there is the Jew, the nations, and the church. Within the scripture, we also know that there are two covenants two covenants that we reference. There's the Old Testament, the New Testament, or the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And in those covenants, in the Old and in the New, the Bible says that God desires and has blessed His people. Amen? The covenant is God's promise to His people. And so in regards to that word blessed or blessing, it means or is defined as empowered to prosper. So in other words, God has blessed or empowered us as God's people to prosper in this life. Now remember I said that there are two covenants, right? Well, there is a covenant that God made with Abraham. That's the first covenant that we reference or make note of. Now, in that covenant, now there's many things that God had laid out in that covenant as to what He would do. But one of the major things, or two of the major things that He establishes in that covenant is that, number one, I will give you health and I will give you provision. right? So you could say it this way. He said that because I've made a covenant or promise with you, I have made a promise to give you health and wealth, right? Now, when I say wealth, don't let that mess with your thinking, saying, oh, you're talking about, you know, those Christian people that just need to be filthy rich. I'm not talking about filthy rich. To be blessed means to have an abundant supply, abundantly provided for, all of our needs met, okay? So once again, he says, I have made a provision in the covenant or the promise that you would have health and that you would have wealth, right? That's old covenant. Now, as we read the scriptures, now again, I'm drawing parallels here, but as we read the scriptures, we see Jesus referencing the old covenant. How many of you would say that the gospels are New Testament? Anybody know? It's really a trick question. The gospels are divided in our Bible and they're at the front of the New Testament of our Bibles. But actually, when Jesus walked the earth, he was under the old covenant, right? As he ministered health and healing to people, when he did miracles, it was under the old covenant. But now here's what I want to bring to your attention. In Luke chapter 13, verse 16, if you recall, there was a woman that was sick for several years and she came to receive healing from Jesus. And in Luke chapter 13, verse 16, it says this, or Jesus makes this statement. He says, so ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath. Now, who was this woman? This woman was a Jewish woman, right? She was under the old covenant. And because of the covenant or the promise that God made with Abraham, Jesus recognizes, he says, this woman is a daughter or a descendant of Abraham. Therefore, she ought to be made well. Everybody say she ought to. Amen. So because of the promise, Jesus is saying it is her right to be well. Therefore, if in the old covenant or promise of if health is guaranteed, so is God's provision. He could have easily said in the old covenant, ought not this woman have all of her needs met because she's a daughter of Abraham? And it would be applicable just the same. Are you tracking with me? Not sure? All right, you tracking with me? All right. So as we come out of the old covenant into the new covenant, we begin to see that not only does God deal with or minister to the Jews, but he also starts to expand over into the Gentiles or into the world, right? In other words, he says, we're expanding this love, this gospel, this message. And if you're not a Jew, if you're a Gentile, you can be born again. You can receive Christ. You can receive the promise. You can receive the new covenant if you receive the gift of salvation, right? Okay, now, as we come over into the New Testament, look at what it says here in Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 13. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Everybody say Gentiles. So now he's expanded his reach. Remember, he said, this Jewish woman, ought not she be made well because she's a daughter of Abraham? He says right here, he says, now this blessing has come over into received by the Gentiles. He says, cursed everyone who hangs on the tree, verse 14, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So it can rightly be said that just like as Jesus spoke to that Jewish woman saying, she's got a covenant, she's got a promise, she ought to be well, she ought to receive financial blessing. Just as that is so, we today as people that are considered Gentiles or the church, it can rightfully be said to us, ought not we be made well because of the covenant that we have with Jesus. And he says the blessings of the covenant of Abraham belong to you and me. So once again, ought not we be well, or ought not we be blessed because of the promise of God? Are you tracking with me? And again, there's a point by which I'm bringing the parallel of old and new. There's I'm being strategic and bringing that to your attention as we continue to move forward. You doing okay? All right. Now, if you recall, this is just a side note if you're taking notes. It says that we're redeemed from the curse of the law. If you want to know what the curse of the law is, you can go and look in Deuteronomy chapter 28. But primarily, or one of the biggest things that is a part of the curse of the law, is sickness and disease, poverty and lack, and spiritual death or separation from God. Amen. So in other words, if you're experiencing poverty and lack in your life, that's not the heart of God. If you're experiencing sickness and disease, that's not the heart of God. I know some have tried to teach you, well, God's trying to teach you something, keep you humble by this, because he just needs you not to be a bonehead anymore. No, that's not the heart of God. That's not what he says. All right? So once again, if you want to check that out, that's over in Deuteronomy chapter 8. But now, God does give us some biblical principles to live by that are applicable from Old Testament and New Testament. All right? Again, as I said, I referenced or paralleled old and new to show that the blessing is applicable to them and to us. And there are principles from the Old Testament or Old Covenant that are applicable to New Covenant or New Testament. One of which is the blessing of God. If you recall over in Genesis chapter 1, God created man, and it started out by saying, God said, or blessed them, and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. So when God blessed them, that was not just him saying, oh, bless you, you creation of mine. They didn't sneeze, and he didn't say, oh, bless you. No, he was making a covenant. To declare or to bless them was covenant talk with God. He said, I bless you as my creation, be fruitful and multiply. Amen? That's how God established his creation. Now, as we see in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, it says this. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, God says this. He says, I will give you power to gain wealth. God says to his people, he says, I will give you power to gain wealth. Now, that word power is a little blind to us, because it's not saying I'm giving you strength or I'm giving you ability to gain wealth. The actual translation of the word is this: I will give you power, or I will give you wealth to gain or obtain wealth. Now that becomes a little bit more clear, doesn't it? God says, I will give you wealth to obtain or gain wealth. Well, that kind of makes sense to us on a just natural basis, doesn't it? I mean, if you're going to obtain something, doesn't it take money to obtain it? If you're going to make a purchase, right? Or maybe you want to start a business. And so you're like, well, you know what? For instance, we got, help me out, Amaya. Amaya is a fashionista. She likes to design and do clothes, and she's very creative. Well, so she has made investments in the past. She's invested in material. It costs something out of pocket, but she took money to make an investment to make something, and then she had a product that she sold for more money. So it took money to make money, right? And God says, this is my heart for you. If you think about investments, you go and you make investments in the stock market, right? It takes money to make money. So this is the basic principle of God. He says, I will give you power, or I will cause you to have wealth to gain wealth. And this is the heart of God, that we would continue to increase. Or you could say it this way, God has always determined that money have a mission. Let me say that again. God's heart is that we would increase so that we would have wealth or money with a mission. Now, how many of you would agree or understand to say that God's desire is not for you just to have so much money that you're fat and happy and lazy and do nothing with your life? He wants you to be a success going somewhere to happen. And wherever you go, he wants your life to benefit the kingdom of God. And so therefore, the more financially successful and stable you are, the greater ability and influence you have in building the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. All right, so God wants us to have mission on our mind or kingdom plans on our mind as we increase. All right, so if God says, I will give you wealth to gain wealth, let's look at one of the ways in which he causes or allows us to acquire blessing and increase. Are you ready for this? I'll ask it again. Are you ready for this? Say, I'm ready, Pastor. Yeah, ready. All right. So one of the foundational ways that God gives us the ability to acquire wealth or increase in our life is through what is called the tithe. Everybody say the tithe. Now, as we talk about the tithe, we find it over in Malachi chapter 3, and it says this, bring all the tithe into the storehouse, or the temple, or you could say in modern terms, the church. Bring all the tithe. Now, let me pause for a moment, because it says to bring it. Now, obviously, we have modern technology where you can do it on your phone. You can send it in the mail. You can do it email. So, in other words, there's a way in which you can send your tithe. But ultimately, what God is saying, bring your tithe to the storehouse or the place that you attend. So, in other words, if you're saying, well, I'm sending my tithe to Australia. Well, my question for you is, are you going to church to Australia? Can you actually physically bring it to the church in Australia? And the answer is no. So in other words, wherever you're growing spiritually, being fed in a part of a local assembly, bring your tithe. Amen? Now, do you recall all that I shared with you beforehand in terms of old covenant, new covenant, how they merge and are applicable together? Remember the conversation we had? Now, here's why I had that conversation with you. And that is because so many times you hear the argument when it comes to the tithe that people will say, well, we're under the new covenant. We are not under the law. And they try to make a separation from old covenant, new covenant. And because the tithe was established in the old covenant, we think, or people will argue and say, that's not applicable for today. But the reality is that when we begin to see the scripture laid out, the tithe is not under the law, a part of the law, or come about when the law was established. Actually, Abraham over in Genesis chapter 14 is the first mention of the tithe, and that's when Abraham gave a tithe of his increase to Melchizedek, the high priest. And really, it is a type and a shadow of the Christ that was to come. So it is not, or tithe is not under the law as some try to equate it or connect it to. Now, as I said, if you see something in the Old Testament that is a principle to live by, you'll see it over in the New Testament. So do we see the application of tithe in the New Testament? And the answer is yes. Over in Hebrews chapter 7, starting in verse 8, it says this. It says, here on earth, men receive tithe. He said, but there, he, speaking of Jesus, receives the tithe. Speaking of that Jesus in heaven, when we give our tithe, it's not just a natural exchange, But there's actually a spiritual implication that actually the heart of God, Jesus himself, receives our tithe when we give it. Amen? So again, it's not me just fulfilling an obligation. It's me saying, God, I'm recognizing you and I'm honoring you. Can somebody say amen? Amen. All right. So what qualifies the tithe or the giving of the tithe today? The fact of the matter is that tithe or tithing is found both in the Old Testament and New Testament. Now, for the sake of clarification, some might say, well, what does the tithe mean? What does that look like? The word tithe means 10%. So in other words, God says that the tithe is 10% of your increase, right? Now, once again, that just kind of goes cross-grain. It's like, oh, dear God, I've never heard these things before. Or maybe you're new to the church or you've never been to church and you're, dear God, this pastor's talking about giving money. I would rather you understand right from the get-go than not understand it at all. Amen? All right. Now, let's look at Malachi chapter 3 once again. Malachi chapter 3, starting in verse 10. It says this. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Now, once again, where do you get fed spiritually? Where's your spiritual food come from, or one of the places? The local church. So bring in the tithe to the storehouse that there may be food. So in other words, your giving determines how you feed spiritually. Amen? That is good. Praise the Lord. Glad my wife gets excited about my preaching from time to time. She goes, that there might be food in my house. And then notice what it says. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Now, the tithe is 10%. 10 cents of every dollar. And it's interesting to me that when you start to have this conversation, people start to get squeamish in their seat, get offended, get bent out of shape. I'm not coming back next week if this is what the series is about. I don't want to hear this anymore, right? And we get all wrapped up and irritated that we're talking about money. And therefore, the tithe in which we just talked about, it's only mentioned in the first part of the scripture. Bring all the tithe. But look at the overwhelming two-thirds of the latter part of that scripture. It says this, and try me now, or test me, prove me, says the Lord. He says, I will not open, or see if I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that you won't have enough room to receive it. My question for you is, what part of that scripture is heavy? What part of that scripture is overwhelming to us? What part of that scripture seems so hard to comprehend? Because God says, listen, I want to do so much for you that it's too much. I'm a too much God, and I want to do so much that you don't have room enough to receive it. And I don't know how come that becomes such a difficult thing, because I want to be on the end of receiving too much rather than say, well, I got my 10 cents for every dollar. I got it. I got my 10 cents. I mean, let's just say you made $1,000 a week. What's the tithe on $1,000? $100. I mean, $100 spends today like $20 spent like, 20 years ago. I mean, you go to the grocery store, buy three things, you spend $100. You know what I'm saying? I mean, $100 is not anything. But I'm like, I got my $100. Bless God, I ain't going to tithe. I'm going to hang on to my $100. This measly little $100. But God says, I want to open up windows of heaven and bless you so big that it does, you don't have room. You'll have to say, God, stop. It's too much. But yet people struggle with tithing. And my question is, why? I guess the question is, or maybe the reality is that I feel like losing 10 cents on every dollar makes me a loser, and I'm losing out on my life, and I'm giving up and going without. And that is a greater reality to me than what God said. That God said He would bless me beyond my ability to receive it. Amen? Now let me qualify that, because oftentimes you've heard preachers say that, well, if you don't tithe, you won't be blessed. No, you are already blessed. You are already empowered to prosper. But God says there is an added blessing that comes when you tithe. He says you're blessed, but Lord, you want to be super blessed? Abundantly blessed? Oh, just test me. Prove me. I double dog dare you. It's the only place in the Bible where God actually says, test me and prove me and see if I won't do it. And I'm telling you what, I have never, ever, 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 ever seen anybody that dared to become a tither that said they got to the end of the week and they didn't have enough. In fact, the contrary. They see, man, I've got more than what it seems possibly able to have. I'm doing everything that I used to do, but now I'm actually being a tither and it seems like I have more. Why? Because of the blessing of God. Amen. And that's the heart of God. But let me say this. When it comes to being a tither, it will require faith. I said it will require faith. Now, notice what it says here in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, it says this. It says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruit of all your increase. So shall the barns be filled with plenty, and your precious presses shall burst. They'll burst out with new wine. Now, that word first fruit is making reference to tithe. And once again, for everyone that struggles with the subject of being a tither, notice the back half of that scripture. He says, when you honor me, that word honor actually means to worship me. When you actually worship me and love me with your tithe, he says, here's what I do. He says, your barns will be filled with plenty and your presses, they'll burst with new wine. And once again, for me, it's like, that is a no-brainer. It's like, you know, Jesus says, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. Go to hell, go to heaven. Oh, I just don't know. I don't know if I want to go to heaven or not. Right? Most people will say, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. And it's just like that same question there. Do you want plenty? Do you want increase? Do you want your life bursting with overflow? Or do you want to hang on to that little 10%? Right? And God says, it's going to take faith. He says, will you worship me with your first fruit? Here's what first fruit actually means. It means the first part. It means the top. It means the first. So this is where it requires faith. Because oftentimes when you're talking about the tithe, people oftentimes think, I can't. But when it comes to the first, what it means is I have to make a choice. What will be my first choice? What will I choose to make my first responsibility? Oftentimes people are spending and seeing whether or not they can afford tithing, rather than tithing and knowing that God is faithful. Did you hear what I said? There's a huge difference, because people say, well, I'll do this and I'll do that, and I'll take care of mine and I'll spend here. And if I have a little bit left over, I'll become a tither. God says, put me first. Put me first as a priority. Worship me. Honor me first. That's going to take faith. Amen. What does that mean? That means, okay, God. Okay. I know the house payment's due this week. I know there's bills that need to be paid. But my first act of honor, my first responsibility is to worship you. And so, God, I'm going to give you my tithe. Actually, you're not giving him your tithe. You're giving him his tithe. Amen? And once again, if you will put him first, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. It's a matter of making a shift and a choice to say, God, I'm going to trust your word. I'm going to put you first. And God even says, as we said, prove me, test me, see if I won't. If you're struggling with tithing, let me just challenge you. For the next 90 days, don't try it. Don't just hit it happenstance here and there. But be faithful. Every time you receive increase, tithe. And at the end of 90 days, if you're not better for it, then stop. Because God's a liar. Or you can see that God is faithful. And that he's not a man that he shall lie, or the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, will he not do it? If he spoke it, will he not make it good? He will make his word good in your life. Amen? Now, as I close, let me give you this. Bring you back to the attention of Malachi chapter 3. Let me just real quickly say this as well. I said it's going to require faith, right? If you're not able to trust God with 10 cents on the dollar, if you get a paycheck for $1,000 and trusting God with $100 of it, if that is too great of a faith walk, then when necessity comes and the car breaks down and you need $6,000 that you don't have, don't tell me that you have faith in God. It's impossible. If you can't have faith in $100, don't tell me you've got mountain moving faith for $6,000. That's why God wants you to learn how to trust him in the small. If you're faithful with little, you'll be faithful with much. Malachi chapter 3. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessing, such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive. Tithing opens up the too much blessing. I said, tithing opens up the too much blessing. Stand up with me, will you please? Now, when you tithe, it's still going to require faith. Why? Because there's blessing that is attached to your tithing. Now, you can get mechanical and just be a tither. Now, there's something to be said for that. That is just part of my lifestyle. I'm a tither, and I don't question it. I just do it. That's all well and good. But every time that you tithe, put your faith on it. God, as I tithe, I'm believing for blessing. When my wife and I, when we were at Rhema just this past week, we gave online. She gave online. And when it came to that time of prayer, I grabbed her phone because she gave it, you know, on the text thing. We're sitting there. I'm holding her phone with her hand, and we're believing God. Thank you that as we give, increase is coming. Exercise your faith of God's promise to you. Amen? And this is the last thing that I'll say. On the end of that scripture in Malachi, it says that God rebukes the devourer for your sake. Remember, the Bible says, Jesus said, the devourer comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life more abundantly. Now, I don't know about you, but if giving 10 cents and every dollar gets God on my side, rebuking the enemy when he comes to destroy, kill, and steal, oh, come on, that's worth every penny. I mean, that's good insurance, man. How many of you love paying the thousands of dollars for auto insurance and house insurance that you don't really ever use? You know what I'm saying? Hey, listen, this is insurance that I put to work all the time. God, I thank you. that you're rebuking the devourer for my sake. I thank you that there's a hedge of protection around my kids because I'm a tither. I thank you, Father, that the people of our church, they're protected and the hand of God is upon them. Why? Because as a church, we're a tithing church. Amen. So listen, we're stepping up and we're going to experience the abundant life. Why? Because we're having understanding and we're experiencing it and doing it through faith. Amen. Did you get anything out of this today? Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to share your word. I thank you that, Lord, your word actually simplifies things and makes it easy to trust you. So God, we thank you that you're faithful to your word and that we are stepping over into a place of abundance and blessing that we never have. Not that it's never been there, but God, we're becoming more aware of it and therefore taking advantage of it. And so God, we thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Well, that's it. We are so glad you joined us today, and we hope to see you again soon. If this message has been a blessing to you, would you consider giving to our ministry so we can continue the work we do? You can donate securely online at gvchurch.tv/give. As always, you can connect with us anytime through our social media sites or online at our website, gvchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We are Genesee Valley Church, loving God, loving people, and loving life.